Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Right After. It is finally season three, and I am here for the first episode of this season. You know, we're starting new. We're in a new studio. We have a whole new setup because we're doing this the right way this time. And I am here. My first guest of this season, of course, has to be my executive producer. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Pooh. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm well. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining me on Reality Right After. Of course, Ricky is my executive producer of the show. We, you know, prepared this show about all things housewives, all things, you know, Bravo, reality TV.
Entertainment, anything reality entertainment, we're here.
We're here and we're talking about it on Reality Right After. So, of course, first guest of the season has to be the EP.
Yes, yes. This will probably be the rare time you see me in front of the camera. I'm always in back of the camera working with Wellington. I gotta make sure we get things moving.
Period. Yeah. So, okay. So because it's the first episode of the season and of course you're on it, we gotta talk.
We gotta cackle
and we gotta talk about, you know, the mess that is happening on these reality TV streets.
It's a lot of mess.
Okay. So first things first, let's just get into the headlines. The Real Housewives of Potomac star and Love and Marriage DC season one star Monique Samuels files for divorce from husband Chris Samuels after 11 years of marriage.
Yeah, that's tough.
Were you shocked?
I was shocked. I like them together. I like them. I like the kids. But I think they predicted it. I think they got off of reality TV to try to not show some of the bumps in their marriage. And I think getting on these shows only amplified it.
Right.
And so.
So, article says, Monique Samuels and husband Chris Samuels have called it quits after more than 11 years of marriage. A spokesperson from the Montgomery County Family Court in Maryland confirmed to Page Six on Tuesday that Real Housewives of Potomac star and Love and Marriage DC star Monique Samuels filed for divorce from the NFL star, 45 years old. Monique is 39. We're told Monique filed a petition to have the documents sealed. I mean, why?
I think from the start, they've been trying to keep it really private about the inner workings of their marriage.
Which I'm surprised, though, because let's talk about it. Monique came on Love and Marriage DC.
Right.
And ragged Chris through the mud with the things that were going through in their relationship and holding him accountable for that in the group scenes, in the individual scenes, in all of it. So let's also remember the fact that the reality rundown reported that they were actually calling it quits a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened, right? So now my guess is you're finally pulling the trigger. You're having the documents sealed for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. What has changed from the last time that you said you were going to get a divorce to now? So I feel like I'm not surprised that this is finally happening and, like, you know, petitions having made. But it's also like I want to know what has been, like, the determining factor between, like, her trying to pull the trigger.
Well, let's take it back a little bit. I think Monique has always gotten a bad rep when it came to her marriage with her husband. I think they felt like she doesn't come from that type of class to be married to him. Right. She had to deal with a lot from his family and her being from what they considered an urban area in New Jersey. And so she was always kind of combating that within the group on Real Housewives of Potomac, and then within his family, et cetera, et cetera. So I think to kind of save her and Chris's relationship dynamic, I think they spent a lot of time defending one another.
Right.
And also, Chris was always really adamant about keeping their relationship private.
Right.
So I think they might want to just, the decision to keep the inner workings of the paperwork private probably was a decision for Monique and Chris. And I think she had a lot of issues on Love and Marriage DC because I feel like she thought she would have a lot more autonomy over how she was showcased in the show. And, and so it really made her seem like she was just, like, attacking Chris. But I also understand that Chris had some traditional perspective on how their relationship should work, which can come off controlling. And I honestly think a real underlying issue, let's get into it, is she didn't want to leave the Real Housewives of Potomac. I don't think she wanted to leave.
But, she said no. And she got invited to Ultimate Ghost Trip and also said no.
I think Chris didn't want to go back on that show after the baby rumors, personally. I think he didn't want. And I think she might have harbored some resentment And when they couldn't get the same type of bubble from Love and Marriage, that resentment probably doubled. And he probably was like, well, I don't want to be on that show either.
And I also think that for, in a weird reason, in a weird way, Monique thought that she was going to be able to control the edit on in Love and Marriage. And baby, you are in a reality TV show as The Real Housewives. Now you're going on Love and Marriage. You know that you're not going to be able to control the edit.
True.
You know how these things work. And you know that at the end of the day, even though these shows are there to portray, you know, your lives in a positive way.
They want the drama.
They want the drama and it's to sell. So for her, for always that to be the determining factor of her leaving these shows, it's kind of like, are you really made for reality TV if you can't take the heat?
Right.
Erica Jane took the heat. And never left Beverly Hills. And I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to do that. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, we've seen girls like have like real shit.
So what makes reality TV stars, what makes you a household name is your ability to deal with scandal. Right. Big moments.
Right.
You want to be a star, the stars handle scandal. And so if she would have came back after Bop and Candace. We love you, Candy girl.
We love you, Candace.
Friend of the network.
Friend of the reality rundown, Candace. We love you.
We love you down. That would have been a huge, like, because the girls were rooting for Monique. She had, like, the world in her corner after that. And so
she didn't know how to tap into the fan base in a way that was, she could use that against, let's say, you know, the other girls. Let's talk about Garcelle, how she does that on Beverly Hills.
Right.
She taps into the fan base. She knows that the fan base is with her. And she knows, she also listens to the fan base in the sense of like, Garcelle, we want you to go check this person.
Yeah.
And she gives us that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it was definitely a missed opportunity in between.
Big time.
For all of them. The former couple has a hearing scheduled for Wednesday. The court spokesperson tells us that if all goes well, their divorce will be finalized.
So it seems amicable. Yeah. It doesn't seem like they're not like Croy and Kim down to the blogs being messy and fighting over the churn.
Well, girl, that was a great segue into our next story, because Kim Sosiak's daughter Brielle and Ariana wish Croy Bierman a happy Father's Day amid their nasty divorce. When you first saw that, of course, we reported that on the Reality Rundown. When you first saw that, did you think like that's fake? Because no shade. I don't know if I want my daughters to be saying happy Father's Day when we're going through this public, nasty divorce and this man is calling me a gambler and all of these things and doing petitions that are making me look bad in the public. That's why, like, I get it. He has done a lot for those girls, but it's also like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm able to compartmentalize that.
Maybe it's some truth to it. And so they're having a hard time saying we're just going to totally be on mom's side or totally be on dad's side.
That's actually...
Yeah, so it might be a little... Like, you was down to the gambling hall, you know? So it might be a little truth to it
as to
why they're not, like, picking a side. But that's their father at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Who is them kids? Who is them cheering daddy? I don't know. But Croy has been their father.
Right. No, that's their father.
For a really long time. So it's like... You
I don't
know,
think if we ever met their
never. Their it wasn't Big Papa, so we don't know. We don't know. But what I wanted to say is at the end of the day, that's their parents. So, you know, it's hard when your parents go through a divorce or they're fighting to really choose sides. I'ma always choose my mom and them side, but what I'm saying is that's their father and they probably witnessed some things that we didn't see that they feel like they don't really know what side to pick, but that's their daddy. So wishing them a happy... And also keeping up appearances. We ain't got nothing to do with what y'all going through.
Right. That's also true. And I think that it's important to, I guess, think about it like that when you are the kids of people that are in the public eye. Like, you have to somehow...
Still keep up. Right.
Both.
Got to do your own PR.
But listen, you mentioned if there's some truth to it. Well... We have another story right in the Kim Sosiak of it all. Kim Sosiak once made daughter Brielle wait in car while she gambled until 3 o'clock in the morning. Kim Sosiak's past is coming back to bite her, girl. The Real Housewives of Atlanta alum, eldest child, daughter Brielle Bierman, claims her mom once forcibly drove her 2 hours to North Carolina casino and made her wait in the car while she gambled until 3 o'clock in the morning. Additionally, the 20-year-old was allegedly told to keep the outing a secret. And of course she didn't. One time I was walking, Brielle says, and I quote, one time I was walking out to go to dinner with my mom. And my mom said, get in the car. We're going somewhere. I was like, where? She said, secret. Get in. She wrote in a tweet. 2 hours later, we end up at a casino in North Carolina. I was 20. I had to stay in the car the whole time. We were there until 3 o'clock in the morning. So Brielle
said, that happened when she was 20?
When she was 20. And she...
I get it. That's... That's rough, but you are 20 years old, Greg.
And I think that she said it like...
You saying it like you was 8.
I also think that she was just trying to be funny about it, you know, because she it was like in a series of tweets that she was saying it. But I, like, girl, this is not the time. This is like, are you not looking at the news and all the blogs?
Well, it seems like they choosing a side. I don't know what's going on in the Cashmere household, but it ain't silky and smooth, honey.
So what do you think about, were you shocked when Kim Sosiak's divorce to Croy, like, was announced? I was. It gagged me.
It gagged me, too, but... You never can win when you play dirty, honey. You never can win.
What do you mean by that?
So I feel like over the past 10 years, how long have they been together? When Croy was first introduced to the Real Housewives of Atlanta,
they have like 8 kids.
She was my husband this, my husband that. You remember they were saying he was her wig maker and her wig curl and he did her makeup and he drove her around everywhere. Mm. And she was saying for years how the ladies were just jealous of her because she was married and she had kids.
Right.
And Cashmere did $7 million. Mm-hmm. And
also, like, let's talk about it. Like, she was ridiculing all of the other women for...
And she went really hard at Kenya. About Kenya not having a man and Kenya getting a divorce and her man don't wear her. And now, lo and behold, the well has run dry. Croy is jumping ship and you're trying to get back on the cast with the girls. So you never can win when you play dirty.
You can never win. No. You can never win. And we're not going to do too much on Kim Sosiak, so moving on.
Period.
Vanderpump Rules alum Faith Storrs. Hold on, because this is like... This.
Okay.
Like, as soon as I mentioned Vanderpump Rules, I knew that you were going to like...
So real quick, for full transparency.
Yeah.
I used to stand Vanderpump Rules back in the day.
Okay.
You know what happened with that. Love those girls and what they do. They're just not my girls.
Right.
But go ahead.
They're not our girls. However, Faith, the black girl that was on that show, scored a $6,000... I guess, payment in 72 hours after launching a GoFundMe against Stassi, which was the girl that got fired for doing racist actions against Faith. Stassi, Kristen, and Jax were fired for that. There's a page, a Variety article on it. So let me just read you this. I'm just happy that...
Well, what's the GoFundMe for?
I don't know, but the girl that they were doing racist things on, she got her money and whatever, girl, get your money. Faith has earned more than $6,000 to go toward her legal war against her ex Vanderpump Rules castmate Stassi. Towers collected $6,406 from 74 donors after launching a GoFundMe 3 days ago. Faith's highest donor gave her a whopping $5,000. Towers is raising money to sue Stassi over the non-factual allegations over her in Schroeder's book. Stassi wrote something in her book that Faith didn't like, and she says, I'm seeking assistance with my legal team to get this book removed from all of the royalties funds collected from this book be given to charity or assisting a family of choice, Faith stated about in the GoFundMe she had created herself. According to Faith, she was publicly targeted and mercilessly verbally attacked by Stassi and Kristen on multiple public platforms. She said both women used their privilege and celebrity to try and tear me down which was very sad time in my life and, you know, for me in general. Stassi and Kristen were fired from Bravo in June of 2020 after the two were exposed for racist actions against Faith, the only black cast member on Vanderpump Rules. The pair called the police to report Faith after reading an article about a black woman who they said looked like Stowers committing a robbery.
Not my girls.
Get your money, Faith.
Get your coin, Greg.
Get your money.
They sent that money quick.
And I'm going to just say this. I have to be really careful when I say this. I'm all for people evolving, but I'm not for ignoring the past.
Right.
You know? I can come around rehabilitation.
Calm down.
But let's not forget what these people did. Mm-hmm. And for the need of, you know, because of all of the Vanderpump Rules stuff that has been happening, like, let's not forget why these people are no longer in our screens.
Right.
And let's figure out if they have done the work to deserve to be in the public eye.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying people need to go under a rock. All I'm saying is they were fired for a serious reason, and serious things and protocol has to be in place before these people are just back in our screens.
Right. Get your money, Faith. We support you, system. We will down. We will riot.
Down. So moving on to some Real Housewives of Miami news. Lars R. Pippen shades Real Housewives of Miami stars who shed fake tears on camera. Larsa.
Bye, Larsa.
I was going to say something so shady, but I really want to interview Larsa, so I'm going to save it.
Because
it's like, Larsa talking about fake.
Bye, Larsa. What is Larsa's ethnicity?
The braids?
What is her ethnicity?
Let's look it up. So, Larsa Pippen.
She's cosplaying a Latinx woman from Miami. She's not.
So, as Wikipedia says, Larsa Pippen was born on July 6, 1974. Her mother is from Lebanon and her father is from Syria.
She was Middle Eastern. I told you, she is not.
She is from Assyrian descent. She was raised in Chicago, Illinois. The reason why you asked that?
I asked her that because she's talking about fake and I feel like she cosplays her ethnicity and I think it's strange.
It's very strange.
If you go watch season one of Real Housewives of Miami,
yeah,
she looks like a Middle Eastern woman. If you fast forward till today, she looks like Nikki from Love & Hip Hop. Remember Nikki?
Yes, from Love & Hip Hop Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she does look like Nikki from Love & Hip Hop Miami.
I'm tired of Larsa. Isn't she also dating Michael Jordan's son?
Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And just the other day, Larsa Pippen, also, hold on, let me just get you the actual article because I don't want to, you know, misquote myself. She scored half of Scottie Pippen's Chicago Bulls retirement just the other day. This was one day ago, actually. So she's even making more money off of Scottie Pippen.
Listen.
I mean, she raised those kids and, you know, those kids are well off. That's whatever. If Scottie's giving her that money, then I'm sure Scottie has a good legal team. And if she's getting this money, it's because I guess that he's agreeing to it of some sort.
The girls that get it really get it.
Yeah.
And I support Auntie Larsa in that. Get your money.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I just want to line.
Yeah.
That she's not Latin. That's all.
Or black. Yeah. Let's.
Or black.
Because I think that people might not even be thinking that she's lying. I think that people might think that she's black.
Yeah, from looking at her.
From looking at her.
Today.
Not even from looking at her today, but from the vibe that she likes to perceive, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was friends with the Kardashians. And
yeah, it's giving like a Lala Anthony.
Yeah, like, you know? And... Oh my god.
It's giving Lala Anthony, like, she picks, like, I don't know, like, what are you doing, Larsa? But I digress.
Yeah, no, we needed to make that clear. We needed to make that clear, child. Okay, so let's move over. We're in New York City, so let's move over to some New Jersey news.
Okay.
Not me saying we're in New York City, let's move over
to New Jersey. Don't do us.
Mother herself, Teresa Giudice.
Tres Leches Giudice.
Teresa, we love you.
We love you down.
Teresa.
We
love you down, Teresa. We love you down. Teresa Giudice addresses rumors her and Louis Ruelas, who's Puerto Rican and Dominican, marriage is shaky on ground. So yeah. Teresa Giudice has shut down rumors that her marriage to Luis, I don't know. They say
Luigi. Let's say Luigi.
It's on the rocks and shaky ahead of their first anniversary. There's no such thing, she says. She said on her podcast, Namaste Bitches, I love and adore him so much. Like, no, nothing shaky. So I think that, you know, season 12, 13, I don't remember. I think 12 of the real, I hate misquoting myself and I hate people checking me. So let me just, season 13 of The Real Housewives of New Jersey just finished airing recently, and their reunion, which was one of the most shocking reunions that we have gotten in a while, because her and Melissa were finally going head to head. Like the final battle. Mm-hmm. We've seen the situation with Teresa and Melissa for years, mm-hmm. 10 years to be exact. So they finally go head to head at the reunion. And, you know, The Real Housewives of New Jersey is at this point where, like, we don't know how the show is moving forward. Teresa wants nothing to do with Melissa. And when Andy started that reunion, she said to Andy asked both of them what their intention was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at the end of this reunion, how do you guys want to walk away from here? Mm-hmm. And Teresa said, I don't want to see this girl for the rest of my life. So she's done with her. Melissa seems to be done with her too, but towards part two and part three of the reunion, Melissa tried to, like, she was done with Teresa, but then she also blames Teresa for being the one that ends the relationship. Kind of like, oh, I don't want to fuck with you, but look what you're doing. Like, no, y'all both don't want to fuck with each other.
Right.
So let's call it what it is. Let's not make it seem like Teresa's the one that's ending this and Teresa's the bad guy for ending this. You guys don't get along.
Right. I think, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Ooh, child, a girl been out for 20 hours and 20 nights and 20 days.
Not 20 nights, girl.
But no, what I wanted to say is, on the rocky marriage part, mm-hmm. I think anybody marrying somebody and bringing them into this much family drama and this much television and ridicule, they're probably down to the house tussling. We don't think y'all physically tussling, but y'all tussling. Mm-hmm. And money's just stolen and all kind of stuff that be going on when you get welcomed into this family. But I just think sometimes people, it's okay if you don't like somebody. You just don't like people. They don't like each other. They've never liked each other. They've never seen it for each other. And we keep trying to force them. I'm Team Teresa, by the way. But we keep trying to force them to be family and to be good girls. And it's just never going to happen.
It's just not happening.
Either the network has to make a decision. We're going to prioritize Trey. Or we're going to phase her out and keep Melissa and get a new HBIC. But, you know, their family drama is tired.
It's late
and it's overdue and I'm tired. They don't like each other. They done called the feds and got, you know.
Allegedly
called the feds and got her husband kicked out and missed important family moments.
Yeah.
Teresa
got married to Louis and Joe and Melissa didn't show up.
Right.
Teresa and Joe only have each other on this earth.
Right.
Both parents have died. They're not close to their, you know, secondary family. The Wakilis, they don't mess with them. They only have each other when it comes to their, you know, family. So it's really sad because I cannot imagine a world where I don't talk to my only sister.
For the sake of their relationship and for the sake of their children, it's best, hey, I don't like you. You don't like me. Cordial. Cool. We don't really got to kick it like that. If I have something for the family, you're more than welcome to attend.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be in your face. Don't be in mine.
Yeah.
And let's just be adults and kind of move on for the sake of the family.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
But I don't want to see it no more. It's late and it's tired.
It's late. It's tired. And let's call it what it is. I think the only reason why we're even having these discussions is because Melissa doesn't want to leave the show and Teresa doesn't want to leave the show. So now the discussion is, how do we move forward mm-hmm. in a show where two women that are supposed to be in a friend group don't want nothing to do with each other?
You could be around people. They need to take a page out of Kenya's book, because Kenya could come around somebody and pay them absolute dust.
Well, let's segue into The Real Housewives of Atlanta, child.
Yeah.
Good thing that you said that Kenya knows how to pay someone dust, but I do think that right now we're seeing that a lot this season, where some of the girls are upset with the way that, you know, Marlo is acting and they're icing her out. Let me just say something. You cannot be in an ensemble cast and ice a cast member out. It's not going to work. It's not going to be good reality TV.
It's not beneficial. Clicks are not, like they always say, are not beneficial to the show. And as we saw, because they iced NeNe out. Let's call a spade. They all got together and said, we don't want to deal with NeNe. We're not going to film with NeNe. We're not going to deal with NeNe. NeNe it was clear in the last season that a lot of the girls were reached their wits' end with Nene's behavior. Mm. Let's say that. And so they decided, I don't want to film with her. I don't want to fool with her. I don't want to kick it with her. I don't want to skate with her, nothing. And so eventually Nene got her walking papers.
Mm-hmm.
What we're now realizing is there is no person to fill Nene's shoes. There's nobody who knows how to be a likable villain.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was
a likable villain.
A likable villain. Teresa is a likable villain. Even Erica
is
a likable villain. Right. So it's like, I know you're an asshole and I know you do shady things, but I like you enough to look past logic to defend you.
Yeah, and right? Also to just enjoy the fact that you're doing all of this messy stuff.
Right, and so, you know, I hate to say it, Candace is a likable villain. And yeah. So when it comes to these girls, we thought Kenya would be that, but Kenya's just, her caricature is the villain.
Right.
Not a likable villain.
Not a likable one.
Right? You either love Kenya or you hate Kenya.
Or you hate Kenya. There's no in-between.
There's no in-between there. And so she can't do it. And then although we love Candy and she's one of the more successful girls,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't have the wherewithal to go toe-to-toe with a whole cast of girls.
Right.
Like some of these girls can.
Right.
So collectively as an ensemble, what you need to lean on when you don't have an HBIC is the friendship.
Right.
And so you can't start to deteriorate and ice people out and do all these clicks because there is no...
there's not one person that's going to carry the show while everybody's in turmoil.
There's no spread of stardom. So you don't have a star on your clique and you don't have a star on your clique. And so you're trying to make the fans choose sides. And really, we don't even really fool with none of y'all, to
right.
be honest. And so another point I wanted to bring up, and sorry to be long-winded.
No, you go ahead, girl.
Is a lot of these stories have ran its course. Right. And so everything I feel like Candy can show us as a, she showed us her struggles being a single mother. She showed us her businesses. She showed us her family, Todd, all the things she was dealing with. What now does she have to talk about? What now does Kenya have to bring to the table? What now do these girls have to bring to the table? And so you see these kind of stories take place with Marlo, and Marlo worked because she was a friend of.
Right.
Marlo is best suited as Robin to a Batman. She's not Batman.
But I think she could have her peach.
She can have a peach.
Yeah.
But she's trying to maneuver in the group like she has the seniority that she does not have.
That she does not have.
Although you've been there long enough, you're not there with Sheree.
Yeah.
You're not there with Kenya. You're not there with Candy.
You can be on a show for 10 years. Yeah. But if you're not a housewife, you don't have power.
You don't. So she needs to play the role of Drew. She needs to play the role of Sam.
Right.
She's come in, say something fun. You know what Marlo used to do? Come in like a tornado yeah. and just go right out the door. And so
yeah.
I just think they don't have that nucleus to kind of center the drama around. Mm-hmm. I think a Portia would be great.
I think I actually,
Phaedra would be great.
Well, Phaedra's moving on to Married to Medicine.
Yeah.
And we know that she's going to go shake that up now. And I'm so happy that Phaedra's moving on to Married to Medicine because Phaedra needs to be on television.
Yeah.
That's just one thing for sure. After her run on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Season 2, we know that Phaedra needs to be on reality mm-hmm. television. Another thing is that I agree. Portia should be back. Portia is... We saw how they brought her to go be the nucleus of Ultimate Girls Trip 3 when all of the girls were tensely mm-hmm. dropped, when two people had dropped from Ultimate Girls Trip 3, which is why they brought in Portia. So we need a star. Mm-hmm. We need a star. And
starless.
And I'm not saying that Kenya is not a star and
she
that,
absolutely
that
is.
Candy's not a star, because you are worldwide, Candy. You are so worldwide.
Yes.
But when it comes to this universe of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, we know you to be a good team player. We don't know you to be the quarterback of the team.
Right. And also Candy has matured out of some of this drama. And you can even see it in her disposition where she's just like, I ain't really about to deal with this. It's like, yeah. What are y'all doing? And then Kenya, these girls can't go toe-to-toe with Kenya, so it's not fun.
Yeah.
Like,
but I will say, though, when they did the Gucci, Are We Gucci party, and they literally were icing Marlo out, and like, Candy didn't want to talk to her, and Kenya didn't want to talk to her. I'm just like, again, going back to the thing that we were speaking earlier, it's not doing anything for us.
It's
and,
not.
you know, at the end of the day, I get it. This has to be authentic and it has to be what you really feel in that moment, because that's what reality TV is. But girls, we're making a show.
Right.
We're making a show that's supposed to sell and that's supposed to be entertaining. So let's all come together and figure out how we can make an authentic, funny show.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you guys have to like fake your relationships, but I feel like anybody could tell you that what you guys are doing right now is not helping the show whatsoever.
Right.
And I know that the housewives don't really like to look at Twitter. And don't really like to, like, well, some don't really like to look at Twitter and don't really like to go by what the fans say.
Yeah.
But I think that when it comes to the Real Housewives of Atlanta, please, like, read what the fans are saying.
Right.
And take that in. Because while you're there to live your authentic life, you're also there to provide a show for fans that are, you know,
and watching. Let's keep it in line with Housewives. It's getting, it's teetering into some really different style of television. And so,
yeah.
But I do want to shoot the girl. So I think me and Wellington's point about the show are important, but I also do want to call out the context of the drama this season,
mm-hmm.
and why I feel like, although I don't agree, I'm so sorry, y'all. No, I'm so tired of Real Housewives of Atlanta that I'm yawning. But I think the subject matter is important because the current drama is basically Candy's nephew, unfortunately, was unalive.
Marlo's nephew.
Oh, shit.
Marlo's nephew
was unfortunately unalive, and he used to work at Candy's restaurant. Originally, Marlo said that the guy who unalived him, he met at the restaurant when he was working there, and that turned out not to be true. And so when he passed, Marlo said Candy didn't send flowers and didn't extend condolences and didn't do things that she felt like as her celebrity and a person who was in this
person's
life.
Which I understand.
I get it. Candy. So let me take this back. I want to connect this to Phaedra's divorce from Apollo.
Okay.
You know, I say in the chat all the time, I feel like Candy was very insensitive during that divorce and she wasn't there for her friend like she should have been.
Right.
And Candy was basically saying, well, you said you was waiting for hot chocolate and, you know, you act like you didn't care and did not. But it's like, as a friend, if you're going through
like
something,
like, even if I'm in my mood, like, show up.
Even if you're in your bag, I'm going to show up for you. And I feel like she Candy has a history of being insensitive or towards her friend's vulnerable moments. And she has expressed that she's not really that girl. She's more to motivate you to get a bag, friend.
Right.
Which I understand. Now, let's bring it full circle. I do think Candy could have reached out and said, my condolences, sent flowers, whatever. But the boy worked at her restaurant for a short period of time. They didn't have a relationship.
She has a lot going on. She has 3,000 businesses in one street of Atlanta.
She has a lot going on. And then she said that she, for what we later found out, did express condolences and that her and Marlo have talked plenty of times since then and it wasn't an issue.
Right.
It's now 2 years later. And so, and also Candy said, as you know, Candy also had a brother who was unalived to gun violence. And she said, it's really triggering. And so when it comes to shootings and gun violence, she just really doesn't like to get into that. She's really numb to it. So I think, one, for Marlo to bring that up, knowing that history, is kind of awful. And two, if this was such an issue, why is it coming up now? It feels a little disingenuous on Marlo's part.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I mean, so this is Marlo's, well, from a viewer standpoint, what I think that Marlo's coming from, right? So Marlo, this entire conversation starts because Candy's cousin, little cousin that we saw on Candy and the Gang, which was such an amazing show and should come back for season 2, but they're not. Candy's cousin was actually shot at Old Lady Gang.
Mm-hmm.
At the restaurant by someone. I can't remember if they worked there or if they didn't, but Candy's cousin worked. He's one of the main cooks at Old Lady Gang, and there was a shooting and he got shot at. In the arm. So he's good now. Everything's well. So then we start filming season 15 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and Candy is at another one of her restaurants with her husband, Todd, and her cousin walks in and they're talking to her cousin. And of course, there's a big elephant in the room. Your cousin got shot at. And not only that, our audience knows your cousin because he was in a previous show. on Bravo. So the producer breaks the fourth wall and comes in and says, hey, are you guys not going to talk about the things that are happening? Like, you know, so that's happening. So then in my head, I'm thinking, okay, so those producers are also telling the other girls that Candy's avoiding talking about this, which is why then I think that when we're then in this group scene after one of the events, and Drew brings up Candy, what happened with that situation at your restaurant? And Drew specifically doesn't say shooting. Marlo gets pissed because Marlo feels that it was a shooting. Like, say that it was a shooting. Like, stop trying to like hide things, like, on her behalf to not make her look bad. Like, it was a shooting. So then Marlo gets aggravated because she feels that the girls were basically trying to like save face for Candy, you know,
not
talking about the shooting, not talking about the things that were happening. So for that reason, which is why then Marlo feel all of this starts to resurface when Candy didn't show up for her when her nephew died by someone that, you know, murder him.
I think two things can be true at the same time. You know my saying?
No, two things, and I agree.
That I'm of the belief that is it a little disingenuous on Marlo's part, but there's some truth to it. And I think Candy probably told her friends and her girls, like, look, I don't want my businesses to be associated with gun violence.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get on this platform and talk about shootings happening at my restaurant so people won't patronize because they feel unsafe. Whatever her rhyme or reason was, cool. I do think Candy gets a lot of leeway in terms of how she shows up on the show and who she interacts with, which is not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair for any of them to have that leeway,
right?
Which
and
is
we
why
saw
Nene had to go.
And Phaedra and Nene. But one thing about Nene is Nene clocked in. She wasn't really like, don't talk about that, to my knowledge.
I agree.
Nene knows.
The bathroom, the closet situation, but that was later on when she was already like, yeah, you know,
they still talked about it though on
did.
The show.
They did. But she literally grabbed the producer and ripped his and
chipped his. And so similar critique for Kenya. Like I feel like the trip. Right, I feel like
Kenya. I'm tired of the fake performances.
Yeah, I feel like...
Do you really think Kenya was sick?
No, I don't think Kenya was sick. And I think she also, love you too, Kenya, kind of sometimes uses Brooklyn as an excuse not to film when things get difficult for her. And so if the nanny was there, you could have... You don't invite girls to a trip and then don't film scenes with them. And then before the performance, you getting carried down on a gurney. Kenya, like, I was like, girl. So, yeah, they was banging on her door, and that was inappropriate. But I understand Mono's point is we're all clocked in and working, and you and Kenny need to come to work.
And you know that this is the hotel where production is hosting talent. Mm-hmm. So if you know that the cameras are in full range in this hotel, and we have this agreement, because let's talk about it.
Right.
There's contracts in place. There's cue sheets that are sent out. People know where they're going to be shooting.
Come on, producer.
People know where, you know, where cameras are allowed to go to and where cameras are not allowed to go to, because prior to cameras coming up, they know what they're signing up themselves up to. So I do agree with Marlo. If you know that we're shooting this trip in this hotel and you know that it's fair game, why are you having Brooklyn in your room that we're shooting?
Right.
If you're going to be so sensitive, and as she should, because nobody can tell a mother how to be about her daughter.
Right.
But also you need to take into account the fact that you are shooting a show.
Right. And so I think Marlo's definitely fanatical and sometimes inappropriate and disrespectful. But I think under all that, she does have some valid points.
Yeah.
But it's just coming off really not Real Housewives and reflective of some of these other networks I shouldn't mention. And so
yeah, we're not gonna do that.
They're declassing the show.
Well, listen, we saw Sheree and Candy go head to head after Sheree, you know,
not
told
Sheba she.
And for Candy to double down.
Yeah.
And you know, I was team Sheree when it came to that discussion, because Sheree pulled her to the side and said, listen, I'm mad that you started creating spoofs about me, and then when everybody started calling my company She by Shein, you like went into that and you started like, you know, making fun about me and things like that. You need to understand, especially you, Candy, who's someone that's so business oriented. You need to understand that like that was kind of like crossing the line a little bit, you know?
But I feel like Candy has historically, like I keep bringing it back to her and Phaedra, because you can see these same patterns where if Candy feels justified in something she did, there's really no way to convince her or sway her. You saw it with her and Portia and the Candy Coated Clique, and you saw it with her and Phaedra and Apollo's divorce and her keeping his stuff down to the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing it with Sheree. Now, Sheree, you was now. You didn't do right by them folks with that clothing and stuff now.
Right. And then she ultimately admitted that she outsourced and, you know, just put her logo on some stuff after she said she wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll give you grace, babe.
Spring, summer.
We'll give you grace. But it was just weird for me because in my head, I'm just like, she's explicitly telling you what got her mad. And you're saying, well, I don't understand why that got you mad. Impact and, you know, versus intent. Like, even though you didn't intend to piss her off, it hurt her. And it hurt. And she feels like it was hurtful to her business, especially because you are the most followed housewife, especially because you have such a big platform.
Right.
So, and like she said, you know, I went to Old Lady Gang the other day and I brought my entire family and the food didn't come out for three hours. I didn't go and made a spoof for the reel about me sitting at Old Lady Gang and my food not coming out. And that was a valid point.
That was, because you know, that was a valid point. Sometimes Sheree be missing the mark. But
like, Sheree did look good on that in that Gucci blazer.
She did.
She ate the girls up. I thought she looked the most elegant out of
everybody.
I thought
Sanya looked. I like that cream.
Sanya looked regal.
Come on, cream.
And also, I love Sanya when she puts her head like in a ponytail that like, you know,
half up, half down.
Yeah, like you ate that up. Sheree and Sonia were definitely best dressed. Marlo looked cute, but it was low-key like a coat.
It was just giving fanatic. Like, she just gives me...
She's like, I don't wear brands, honey.
The category is drama, whatever. I'm just...
Are you seeing it for Courtney?
Who? Come on, Courtney.
And the fact that she's blood cousins with Rolf... Are you seeing it for Drew? She's getting a divorce.
She need to. I support that divorce.
So girl. Drew, so all I need to know is, did you find out where Rolf was in Florida?
He was with Courtney.
Allegedly.
But no, Courtney, she really turned me off with the bopping and with her Alicia Keys fedora on.
And calling people ghetto.
And calling people ghetto with her Gucci butterfly belt and red leather coat. Anyhow. She needs like
Barb Nation, by the way.
Yeah. First of all, I can't even speak because I'm not going to let the Barb shoot me up. But no, she needs just one more bundle in her hair and I'll be here. That's what I look at every time her scene comes on. I don't know if that's her real hair, but she needs a bundle or two, girl.
One more bundle. How many inches?
And one 20-inch bundle. And she is set, honey. Trust me. I can hook you up with the girl who beats all my soulmates if you want to.
Corny, my love. But I mean, thank you for giving us a drama, because if not, you
Courtney gives me second season Basketball Wives LA.
Ooh.
That's what she gives me. She gives me Laura in Malaysia Fight.
Ooh.
Remember when Malaysia had that? She gives me the Glovan sisters early season. That's what she gives me. She doesn't give me like... she gives me like late
to everything.
Like very late. She doesn't give me new, fresh.
So, we know that The Real Housewives of New York was recasted and that they have a completely new cast now for season 14. If this is done to The Real Housewives of Atlanta, any thoughts on that? Like, would you like that to be done? Or what, like, are we at the last straw with Atlanta? Or like, how do you think this show, not the cast, but the show moves forward?
I think this may be controversial. This is okay, girl. This may be controversial, but
oh, Lord.
I think that I would like to see what the show was originally about, right? Like, I don't want to, I think the downfalls keep bringing on these celebrity girls. I get the need for celebrity because it attracts viewership,
right?
But I want to see some housewives who are living and have money and are spending money and who are affluent in Atlanta and make them celebrities like we made these original realities. And I think that's what's missing across the board in all of these shows is we get too focused on these celebrities.
Right.
When we let's get some real, you know,
some real people,
rich
that are,
girls,
which is when you really get
even
to
the influencers.
TV.
Yeah.
Because when people don't feel the need to portray something different because they know how the social media thing works, they're willing to look at Love and Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're starting to get a little, they're starting to like pander to the audience, but they were so raw the first
couple seasons
because
that's their real life.
People,
right.
Regular
right.
people. Right. Yeah. The girls produce themselves too much.
Yeah.
So we need real friendships, which is what Cynthia Bailey said is missing from the show.
Yeah, real friendship. Like, you know, these girls in earlier seasons would fight. NeNe and Kim would fight tooth and nail and would be down to the happy hour the next week having a genuine cackle.
A cackle, right.
And when they weren't fit dealing with each other, they genuinely weren't dealing with each other. And so I think that's what's missing. It was really not too many cliques back then. Like, they all fought. They all commentated, they all had something to say. And so I think that the celebrity has they've outgrown their role, and their celebrity similar to NeNe has reached far beyond what the show needs.
How do you feel about the OGs coming back for that scene with Sheree?
I was unaffected. NeNe wasn't there, so I just feel like it was moot. Love the beat.
The girls looked great.
Love the beat, beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns everywhere.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
I was unaffected.
Unaffected. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, The Real Housewives of Atlanta season 15, very telling season for what's to come next. And also, we're keeping a close eye on The Real Housewives of New York City, because if this reboot works and if this reboot does what it needs to do for the audience, Housewives, you are next. Your show is next. If you guys are not willing to coexist, if you guys are willing to take each other down to the nitty gritty, to the point where people have to leave shows and production doesn't know how to move forward, you're making it harder for production to put a show together. Mm-hmm. So you think that you're giving drama, but what you're giving is actually like insubordination in a way, because it's like you're making the show go to a place where it doesn't need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working. So if New York City works, Potomac, New Jersey, Atlanta, I feel like Beverly Hills still has some legs because they had a good season last season.
Particularly Potomac, because y'all are starting too early on that click stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of these girls didn't get clicky till 10 and 11 years later.
Yeah.
Y'all are doing it very early and y'all are siding on the wrong side of history.
Yes.
So and I'm going to say this. The way to keep that show.
Look to your camera. Four.
This is my camera. I don't even know my camera, y'all.
Four.
Let me look at my camera. The way to keep this show is to break up the Green Eye Bandits. They need a takedown season. Redistribute some of that friendship and ensure y'all reach 10 and 11 years. Because at the rate y'all going with this drama, it doesn't look that way with the colorism, classism, and all types of isms y'all got going on. Y'all got too many isms going on to be a fully black ensemble cast.
Right.
So get it together before they forget y'all forever.
Forever. And Candace and Ashley, y'all need to be friends.
Yep.
Like, I cannot express that enough.
Yep.
Candace and Ashley, y'all need to be friends because you guys are the duo that we're missing. And if you guys are friends and we don't no longer see that drama anymore, then we can start getting into like more fresher vibes.
Right.
But I'm not, it's already 7 seasons, about to go into 8 of the same thing. Giselle and Wendy, you need to make up. You need to. Housewives is about problem and resolution. Right. Not just about problems.
Right.
We don't want you to be like Melissa and Teresa. We want you guys to generally be able to move forward with your problems, because that's how people actually go about in real life. So yeah, there needs to be more resolution when it comes to Potomac.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Could you foresee a Tiffany Pollard coming in on a Real Housewives?
So Tiffany Pollard, icon, reality TV icon, was recently on College Hill season 2, where Jocelyn beat Amber Rose's ass. And College Hill didn't show it on Paramount Plus because ASU had a problem with it, but they showed it in the trailer, which I feel like that was a cop out. Mm-hmm. Anyways, sorry, I had to say that. Tiffany Pollard, no.
Okay.
I don't see it for her because I think she has to do another show where we see her life,
mm-hmm.
for then producers that put these type of shows together to see like, oh, I may be interested. We haven't seen Tiffany's life. We've always seen Tiffany good in the roles that she's playing, in the sense of like either a competition show or a College Hill where it's like Big Brother type of sense, you know? We haven't seen Tiffany's actual life. She dates a white man, which she talked about it on College Hill, and how because of all of the things that have been happening within the black community, it's so hard for her to be with her white man. Mm. I want to see that. I want to know those conversations. Are you going to couples therapy? So Tiffany Pollard, if you want to show, reach out to the Reality Rundown, because we'll go down there and shoot it.
We would. I think she would be a good, in my personal producer opinion,
mm-hmm.
think she would be a good casting, because I feel like for so long we've only known her as her caricature.
Right.
And so taking a peek behind that, not to say she isn't portraying who she really is, but you know.
Right.
I want to talk about the Reality Rundown in general.
Okay, yeah.
Rundown media in general.
Let's do it.
Reality right after in general.
Right.
We're so excited about this new season, y'all. And we have so much in store for you guys. We're doing it bigger and better.
You can already see.
And bolder. And so we really just wanted to get on here and have this introductory moment to cackle, because mm-hmm. this is how this stuff came about, is us cackling. Because that's right. All we really do, yeah. Cackle. Like, cackle. Okay, let's make a show.
And it just happened that some of us actually work in media.
We also are the professional working girls. Right. We all work in our respective media professions.
Yeah, too. We're not bloggers that call themselves journalists and have never worked a day in their life in actual companies.
A blogger.
You know?
Jocelyn, did you remember?
And we're shady.
And so make sure you guys are followed and subscribed and tune into all of the content. We Please. Develop content across all of the Bravo Celebrity Universe. We sometimes bring in some different reality TV elements that we see are trending and are fun. If you have ideas, pitches, you want to bring your own podcast, your own show, anything that you have that you feel like fits in within our network, we have resources for y'all to reach out to us about too. And we really appreciate and value all of the love and the support. And we look forward to creating some wonderfully entertaining content for you guys over this next year. And so, yeah, this will probably be one of the first and last times you see me on camera. But just wanted to
say that.
Show y'all that we, you know, we're here.
I wanna piggyback off of that. Yeah. It's been a really amazing year for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached 21,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Reality Right After is coming on season 3. The Talk podcast is on season 2 and mm-hmm. doing amazing. We have other podcasts that are coming on and other shows that we're pitching and brainstorming and, you know, looking to develop. The team is growing,
right.
And our productions are growing. And I just want to say to all of my friends, all of my family, all of my coworkers, everybody that has ever known me, that has followed, that has subscribed, that has liked, that has commented, thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I really put my sweat and tears into this.
You did.
And I really see it for myself, and I see it for our team, and I really see it for our brand. And for me, I could cry right now, because literally it's literally what I live for.
Mm-hmm.
I one day had an idea and I'm working on it. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that always supports, because it truly means the world to me. It's gone up and down. We've gone to tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here and we're still doing it. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, Ricky.
Thank you.
This actually turned out to be such an amazing episode.
It did.
If you guys love reality TV, follow The Reality Rundown on Instagram and on Twitter. And if you want to read some articles, go on therealityrundown.com. We have a website where our writers write everything reality TV. If you want to see some real good content, go on YouTube, The Reality Rundown. This is where all of our shows and all of our podcasts air. If you guys like specific housewives, you know, Love and Marriage, Basketball Wives, listen to Reality Right After. This is the podcast where I'm going to have every week different guests, different reality stars, different producers, everything about the reality game and talking about it right after. So make sure that you subscribe and that you like, comment, all of those things. Thank you for supporting. Ricky, thank you for coming. To the people in the room, thank you for putting this together. I am so grateful and see you guys next time.